Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 43 degrees and overcast. Today's Monday, October 24th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Cost estimates for a renovation of Kettleson Memorial Library came in about $1 million below expectations. The library has been considering an expansion for nearly 10 years. Before it can apply for state grants to help fund it, the city-owned facility must first get permission from the Sitka Assembly. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Kettleson Memorial Library Director Sarah Bell clears off space on a table in her office and lays out some drawings.
Okay, so what we're looking at is a basic floor plan and then also the renderings, I guess is what you would call it.
On one large piece of paper is a rendering of what the building would look like.
It looks kind of cold and it looks terribly modern, but that isn't really what the building would end up looking like. It was just a kind of test of the floor plan.
The floor plan is on another piece of paper. There are shelves in the middle of the building. The huge windows overlooking Sitka Sound in the current building are made bigger with chairs nearby, and there are new rooms, administrative offices, study rooms, children's rooms, and even an area that can be sectioned off with a movable wall. Right now, when the library has a function, it has to do it in the common area where people usually read or use their laptops quietly. Bell says Juno-based MRV Architects received a special set of challenges in putting together the floor plans.
Even though we're looking at making the library larger, we really can't afford to put on more staff, and we need to be more efficient about how it's heated and everything. So his layout reflected that. We can see from the circulation desk and the little admin offices, we can see the entire library.
The price tag for the project is around $10 million. Bell says that's about $1 million below what was anticipated. The state has 50-50 grants that would fund half the project, and the library will ask the assembly for permission to apply for that grant. Bell points out that even though the grant is a 50-50 split, applying for it doesn't commit the city to any financial obligation. If the grant is awarded, then the city gets to decide whether to accept it. The Rasmussen Foundation has already helped out, working with a coalition of nonprofits to help the library determine its needs and the type of expansion that would have to happen. The current plans call for the 7,000-square-foot library to expand to about 14,000 square feet. Several variants have been proposed, though not formally, including the notion of moving the library off of its current site. Bell says nothing is off the table, but that surveys have shown the current location to be popular.
This site is a favorite site, and I think you can see for obvious reasons why as we look out that gorgeous window.
Regardless of where, Bell says the need to expand is acute. As we walk around the library just before opening one morning, she points out some of the difficulties. Boxes are stacked along walls, some books are sticking out into the aisleway on shelves too small to accommodate them, and then there's the Alaskana section, shelves and shelves of local history, books dealing with Sitka, Southeast Alaska, and the entire state. She says the Alaskana collection continues to grow.
We're almost full on our shelving, and we'll be getting fuller as time goes by, so that needs to have a little more space.
The same is true, she says, for the local history room.
Let's open up the door and you can look.
This is where the library keeps materials that are rare, yearbooks, old photographs, and more.
You can see that we're already sort of maximizing space. We found a little nook over there, and that's where we put in some shelving there that normally would not have been used. It's covering up some access to cords and so forth.
The library's plans to expand come during a tough time for city coffers. Budgets have been tight, and city officials have begun to think about where cuts can be made should the need arise. If the grant application goes through, a large portion of the library expansion will be funded by the state, about half. Bell says any financial contribution from the city is a ways down the road. She says difficult economic times are an argument for expanding the library, not against it.
The ironic thing is that in tough times, libraries become more critical.
Not everybody can afford books, magazines, newspapers, or the internet for that matter. And Bell says the library is a place that people can go without having to spend money, where they have access to those resources, sometimes for recreational purposes, but oftentimes not.
You can almost not apply for a job unless you can apply online. And we have a lot of people who submit job applications online. They run their businesses online. You know, there's been a photographic business that was run using a lot of the computers here. permanent fund dividends you can almost not apply for unless you do it online. You want to print out a boarding pass. A lot of people come in here and print on boarding passes on their way to the airport. So as those kinds of tasks become necessary, we provide that opportunity for people.
The deadline to apply for the state grant is coming up early next month. The library will need assembly approval to do so, and that could happen at the next meeting on October 25th. With the assembly's green light, the library will be able to go forward and apply for the grant and continue seeking public input into the plans. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
With some of their worst fears about the economic recession behind them, the board of Sitka's Sawmill Cove Industrial Park would like to begin moving forward again. About 25 Sitkins joined the board for its October meeting last Thursday afternoon as it was held outdoors on a walking tour of the site. Even when this was a working pulp mill, Sawmill Cove must have been one of the most beautiful industrial locations in the country. On a mild autumn afternoon, as golden sunshine paints the terminal dust on the peaks of Bear and Cross Mountains, all of it mirrored in the reflecting pool of Silver Bay, park director Gary White is trying to paint a picture of his own.
If you can imagine from right about here over to the edge, they would put in fill with a sheet pile of fill and then put down two dolphins, and that would be about $6.5 million. But what that would allow is that would allow freight to be able to come over this dock. It would allow Silver Bay to move their fish from here. It would allow, if the bottling company gets back up, allow water to be moved back and forth across from here to there. So that's the plan, is to get this into an active port. And then, down the line, we can decide and have a conversation if we need another cruise dock in the community, and it could go here with additional infrastructure. But in the meantime, you could be bringing barge freight in here.
The idea of a cruise ship dock is so volatile in Sitka that the Sawmill Cove board has felt hamstrung in trying to build support for a sheet pile bulkhead for freight that could be conceivably used for cruise ships. And while it might make sense to build a barge landing out here to stage rock and materials for the Blue Lake Dam expansion, White says no money has been budgeted for the idea, and the materials will likely be landed at the other end of the road system and trucked through town. Longtime Sawmill Cove board member Charles Horan, however, told me he's betting that new industry at the park will emerge from areas where Sitka is already strong.
The most likely growth is going to come from the resource development that we see in town. We have water, we have fish, we have the scenery, and we have wood. You know, historically, that's really been our basis. And the real growth that we've seen have come out of those things that we've seen in town. And the growth at the park has been the fish. You know, the Silver Bay's increase, and even before them, we had other fish processors. They've increased in their bunkhouse. Now they're providing storage for fishermen for their nets and things like that. We see an opportunity for capturing more of the marine services market, which is what's here and just needs to grow.
So you've kind of seen the writing on the wall, and it's not necessarily somebody from Dubai and his water tanker, but it's just continuing to sort of nurture the industries that we're already kind of good at and develop them.
That's the 90% most probable growth will come from those. Now, we're always open for that 10%, the guy from Dubai that needs fresh water. We've got it and we'll sell it.
Despite fairly routine inquiries from around the world, water bottling and bulk water have more or less evaporated as solid business prospects at the park, and they seem to have dried up as immediate and reliable opportunities for growth. Alexander Allison came on the tour as an interested citizen. He agrees that the park should focus on what Sitka has and what it stands to lose.
I'm on the Ports and Harbors Commission, and I live in the harbor, and I've got a lot of close friends and associates who are in the commercial fleet, and I'd really like to see the marine services industry take root out here to support that fleet, because right now we're losing a lot of our fleet. Every year the harbor turns into more and more of a ghost town as boats go away to Wrangell and further point south to get all kinds of work done. And you know, those things that are being done down there are things that could be happening here. And it's not just that boat leaving town. It's all the money. It's all their families going with them. It's all kinds of work for people in Sitka that leaves with them. And so we need to save the fleet. basically. And I see creating that marine services industry here as a way to do that.
Less Silver Bay Seafoods and the water bottling plant, which are now both privately owned, Sawmill Cove has about 20 acres of prime industrial waterfront available and about 30 acres of available land off the water, which will be more difficult to develop. Only two assembly members attended today's walking tour, along with a smattering of other Sitka officials. Nevertheless, Sawmill Board Chairman Grant Miller hopes that policymakers in Sitka will get the message and put the park higher on their list of priorities. Sawmill Cove is 10 years into a 20-year development plan. Miller thinks the possibilities are here, and it's time to act.
And it's hard to wait. Some of us seem like we've been waiting a long time for something to happen here.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey. University of Alaska Fairbanks students will have a hand in the design of the school's next student housing development. A team of five students has been selected to help plan the $1 million project that's known as Sustainable Village, along with staff from the Cold Climate Housing Research Center. The students say that they will spend 300 to 400 hours planning their design. Designers hope to create housing focused on sustainability and low operating costs. Among their ideas is the use of solar power to heat a 10,000-gallon storage tank that will provide a lasting residual heat source. A loaded handgun fell out of a checked bag being loaded onto an Alaska Airlines plane at Los Angeles International Airport this weekend. It is legal, rather, to carry an unloaded firearm and checked luggage on flights as long as passengers notify the airline. The Los Angeles Times says Alaska Airlines wasn't notified about the .38 caliber handgun that tumbled out of a duffel bag being loaded onto a Portland-bound flight on Sunday morning. The gun owner was questioned by police and was allowed to board a later flight for Oregon. Zone weather forecast today calls for mostly cloudy skies, scattered rain showers, highs around 49. This is KCAW in Sitka.